cure or prevent any disease.
Each and every show, we go inside the Beltway, as you know. Concerns all over the place about Hurricane Irene. Will it be a Cat 3, 4? Where is it going to hit on the shoreline? In New Jersey, they're worried. They're evacuating seniors in New York. They're very concerned, of course, in North Carolina. And in Washington, D.C., there's some big concern. Each and every show, we do hook up with Talk Radio News. They are the true insiders. I don't know if they're weather people, but Ken Bassanet, he seems to know everything, the Bass. So maybe he did a little weather. Ken, is everybody talking about Irene now after a couple days after this earthquake?
It comes on the heel of some wicked thunderstorms here. I saw a lightning strike real close over the weekend, and then we had the earthquake. And now we have time to actually plan for a storm that was probably going to, if it stays on track, hit pretty close to Washington as well. All the better that the president's away. He can stay up in basically Massachusetts, wait for the storm to go over Washington, and then his plans are to come back on Saturday. So if the timing is right, just fly west and go right around the storm and then go into Washington behind it and carry on. But he's pretty well connected on the vineyard. I mean, we know that he has all his telecommunications equipment because he's had a couple of powwows with his war council over Libya, which has gone pretty well, all things considered, where it had been for months.
Yeah, no kidding. So the hunt for Gaddafi, what's going on with that? You know, I keep reading, oh, he's almost cornered. We think he's underneath the city because of all the tunnels. And now there's this $2 million bounty. Well, your thoughts in covering politics and tracking down guys like Gaddafi and listening to leaders talk about that, what do you think happens here? Are we just seeing that it's probably going to drag out a little bit more?
I think it could be quicker than people think, or, you know, it could be he's just gone to in a hole somewhere, which is pretty much what it has to be, given the eye in the sky, the technology that is being deployed and available, and, you know, where they're looking and how they're looking. I mean, it's almost impossible to move anywhere above ground in the open country without being seen.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. That's why I think he's underneath in those sort of catty-comb-like things. They call them the honeycombs.
Somewhere. There was a report in the French press today that they came upon a safe house that he had clearly stayed at for at least one night. So if that's true, that means that they're probably on a pretty good trail in there. You know, you have to eliminate places. You have to look somewhere and then, you know, look somewhere else and just keep moving around in all logical places. Watch how people are behaving and what's awkward, and you'll find them.
Yeah.
What I happen to think, the $1.4 million price on his head, that's not for the average Joe to spot him. That's money that they're dangling to somebody inside to say, you know, if you give us the right information, you can get this on top and put it into your legal defense fund.
Right.
You know, in case you need that. But I think that's what that is more than anything else, you know.
Right.
The thing about this search for Gaddafi that is different than the search for Saddam Hussein and certainly Osama bin Laden, but clearly the same argument, and that is it was the United States searching for Saddam, and it was the United States searching for bin Laden. In this case, it's pretty much almost a whole country now looking for Gaddafi, and that is the big difference. Like, we're not on someone's side. We're not trying to recruit someone.
Right.
The people who are running the country and the movement that's sweeping the country is usually anti-Gaddafi, because it's not worth it, you know, except in Sirte, a coastal town to the east of Tripoli, which is his tribal capital and his hometown. There's, you know, those folks are sort of are dug in, and the rebels are battling there and are probably going to, you know, eventually they're going to have to come to some kind of an agreement.
Yeah. The what was interesting, and I know you want to comment on this, and I, as soon as I woke up, it was one of the first things that I saw, the pictures that they found in one of his lairs, in his lair, of Condi Rice and some of the things he had written.
This search, one thing this had in common with Saddam Hussein, as we all know from, you know, our troops going through the Hussein family's personal effects, those guys had some, you know, peculiar interests. And same deal with this guy. They were going through the compound, which they've pretty much taken, and they found a photo album with, you know, all Condi Rice photos in it. And it's I can only think that of all the Western diplomats in the world right now who must be very happy about what's going on in Libya, Condi Rice among them is having the worst day of all of them. No question about it. Imagine waking up to that. Jeepers, that's creepy.
I think it's creepy, too. That and then plus the fact that you got Dick Cheney's book coming out and he says that Washington's heads are going to spin off and that he talks about Condi Rice in it. And I don't know that's going to be that favorable.
Dick Cheney, who talked so much about loyalty and speaking with one voice and never, you know, attacking, you know, using the Reagan doctrine, you know, thou shalt never attack a fellow Republican. And, you know, that was basically the code that he lived by, except for now.
Because he's got to sell books. Yeah, oh, things change. One last one. I got to ask you this because we've talked to a lot of people in Washington and New York and New Jersey, and it's just interesting to get people's reaction. And you grew up in Massachusetts. The earthquake, what was that like for you? Did you feel it or were you, you know, MIA?
Funny. It's really funny. I was on the subway underground.
Yeah.
And I was on the train, and some people said, oh, that must have been what that bump was, but I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary, because the trains are always, sometimes they're single tracking, sometimes they have to switch tracks, and they go in different ways, and I just expect bumps and stops on the metro, but it works, and it goes through, and it's a really good system, I can tell you that, and it's a really good system, because it went through an earthquake. I was underground on that train, and I had to find out that it was an earthquake by receiving text messages from my friends asking about me and tweets. I was reading Twitter, and I was like, oh, my God. Then I proceeded to start to tell people in the car all around me who doubted me, then got out their devices and started going, oh, my God. We got above ground, and it was complete chaos. You know, it was really funny, not complete chaos, but, I mean, it was very overblown story.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
In terms of the amount of, you know, damage. That's what happens when you have an event like that, certainly in the nation's capital, which is legitimate, and, you know, but it also that's where the cameras are, that's where the media is, and that's where it was easy to make the story of. I mean, it took hours and hours before somebody had any footage of that town down in Virginia, you know, whose name escapes me.
What was it, Mineral?
Yeah, Mineral Springs.
Mineral Springs, yeah.
It took hours before we got any footage out of there. But we saw, you know, bricks on the ground. My favorite was like a live shot on one of the cables of bricks falling off of a building on the hood of a car. And then asking a woman who was inside when it happened, well, how would you have felt if you were inside? And she was like, basically, you know, fine, because it fell on the hood of the car, you know.
Yeah, no problem. I got insurance.
I was laughing. I was like, yeah. I go, this is not good. This is a bad thing. This is a bummer. There's going to be damage. But this is nothing compared to, I went out to Northridge with President Clinton after that earthquake, and we were out there a couple of days afterwards, and oh, my God.
Yeah, it was brutal,
you know, big chunks of land moved.
Yeah, it was crazy. Ken Bassinet, Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you Hindi and Super Fem Plex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Welcome back to America Tonight. As many of you know, Mississippi now holds a very important place in my heart. All it took was going down there and talking to the people and really getting a sense of what it was all about and what's happened to Mississippi, both with Katrina and then, of course, dealing with the oil spill and all of that. These are really strong, wonderful people. One of the people that we met and really enjoyed, spent some time with, is developer William Richardson from Jackson, Mississippi. And what this guy has done, he's been a part of this. There's a place called Oregon Place. And it's apartments that are offered to the homeless, some of those Gulf Coast people that are homeless, many who would, frankly, be sleeping who knows where, maybe in the woods, on the beach, I'm not even sure. And basically what it is, and we've talked about this before, it's not really a per se homeless shelter, which is the great thing, and I think it's, I hope to see this spawned in other places, but it has an income-based rental rates, basically, where they can qualify the people that are there for it by earning less than 50% of the median income. And it's just a terrific thing. Now on the back of that, and this is great, there's a book called, and I want all of you to pick this up, Mailbox Muffins and Other Recipes from the Gulf Coast Homeless. And here you've got all these people in the Oregon Place that are there that I just described who are sharing how they cook on a budget. What do you do when you have to cook on a budget? Cans for cooking pots, think about it. Things that we probably wouldn't think of. Tuna containers as muffin tins. So we are very pleased to welcome to America Tonight the developer I mentioned, William Richardson. William, we did get a chance to spend some time with you when I was there, and we really enjoyed it. And we're happy to be speaking to you again, and I'm so excited about your book. I think it's a wonderful idea. This was your brainchild or a whole group of you?
Oh, this is like everything I seem to do. We get two or three people that are bored sitting around. I mean, there's an idea. Look back. You try to lay blame to somebody, and nobody will take it. But let me interject a couple of quick things in your introduction. We are not a rent based as such. We don't charge rent. You have to have a low income, and you want to be able we want to be offering a hand up, not a hand out.
Right.
These people have to be enrolled in job training, improving their educational levels, getting ready to re-enter the job market by which they lost their position through any number of reasons, which you can read about in the book with the six examples that we use. It's taking people out of the woods, and you literally, these folks did come out of the woods and have come to live in an apartment. What we've taken for granted, I'm not a social worker. I didn't understand any of this. This just kind of got thrown up, and I got on it with another group that bailed out at the last minute, a national nonprofit that does this. Anyway, I got in the middle of it and didn't mean to, and suddenly I believed that we had an obligation to people we don't see, and that's the whole thing. We don't see homeless people. And now that I've had a chance to meet a few of them, but for the grace of God, Kate, that's me or you.
Boy, no kidding. I mean, that's exactly what I thought, too, when I was in Mississippi and talking to people about what it was like, what happened, especially with the Katrina situation. And that's exactly right. And for whatever circumstances, whether it's a natural disaster or just things that are happening in their life, certainly now because we're many years after that, it's very, very tough out there for a lot of folks. I mentioned some of the methods for cooking. I was so surprised by that. I thought when I was in Girl Scouts, I could barely light a fire. These people are really creative.
Let me go back also. You were saying that the way they do and on a budget, they had no budget. But more importantly, they didn't have electricity. They didn't have an oven as we know. They didn't have the money to go buy a camp stove that had fuel cartridges. They were surviving on nothing. They would go to the food pantries or sometimes they would go to an institution, a fast food place and pocket some sugar or, you know, various commodities that they could get. And then they went back and became very creative and learned how to make food out of what we would say no food. So it was not only a budget, it was just supply. They had no money, no supplies. The Mailbox Muffin, the name of the book, is literally one guy was creative enough to figure out how to take a mailbox and suspend it over a cook fire, and he came up with how to make muffins and using tuna tins in the mailbox. Thus, they had Mailbox Muffins. That's what caught our attention. And, in fact, Lars Larson was there the night all this sort of, maybe it was his, I blame it on Lars. He's not here to defend himself. It all just sort of rolled together, and Bobby actually did that. Bobby Kelly is one of the features in the book. I see this as a great opportunity to learn a little bit about people and the old Carl Sandburg thing, we will not only survive, we will prevail. They, in fact, have survived, and we've had some great success stories. But, it's cooking when you have nothing in your pocket.
Yeah, wow.
And there's some fun recipes. It is a cookbook, clearly a cookbook, but it's also got the personal stories of how six of our residents survived the storm, where they were before the storm, how they survived the storm, and then their life since their survival.
Yeah, one of them is Bobby Kelly. You talk about him. He's one of the main contributors of the book. Of course, you just told us about what he did. And is it true that he survived? He was, like, literally clinging to the porch, William?
No, he had no porch to cling to. He lived in the woods. If I'd have heard this on your show, I'd have said, yeah. Bobby and his friend, girl, had lived in the woods about 8 years. And I've been there. I've seen it. It's just a little patch of trees in downtown Gulfport. And as I heard him explain to someone once, they didn't have a radio. Yeah, the weather was bad. They'd seen rain before, but they had no concept of what was coming and never did until it had passed. So, yeah, they lived out there in their little tent in the woods, hanging on to whatever they could hang on, but certainly not a porch because they were nothing but trees.
Wow.
And that's how Bobby came through. He also had cataracts, so he wasn't seeing very well at that time.
Wow. Wow. So not even a porch to cling to, literally a tent and the woods. That even tells you a little bit more about the strength, I think, of Bobby Kelly. And I guess, is this true? I was told that he's working on his high school equivalency, too, while he's there.
I've asked him if I can tell this story, and he's given me permission. One of our rules was you have to be in vocational training. I'm thinking a welder hurt his back, so we're going to teach him how to be an accountant.
Right.
Well, as we started receiving these residents, I came to learn one day that Bobby and his girlfriend weren't just no GED. They were illiterate. Could not read nor write. Bobby has since, within the last year, he's been there almost a year, has gotten his GED, and it is progressing along. We've had another tenant who did not have a GED. She got her GED. She's enrolled in community college and told me yesterday that she made a 4.0 in her first semester, which is not something I did in my first semester. I'm sure you did, okay?
Oh, yeah. I was the brains. I was. Wow, yeah. That's crazy. That's exciting, actually, to hear that.
It's working.
It's working. Absolutely, it's working. Oregon Place, how many people would you estimate? I'm sure people are in and out. How many people are usually beneficiaries of this, William?
Today we have 57 people, of which 14 are children, being 18 down to about 6 months.
Wow, that's
terrific. It's about 60% occupied. We try to keep an association of the residents who help police and keep, they know what they've got and they don't want anybody to mess it up. We don't want to become that shelter. We want to become a good neighbor in the community and a contributing entity, just like the high school or the junior college or the college.
Right.
We are a transitional workforce housing project, and that's what we're going to be.
And the good news is Mailbox Muffins. Go to mailboxmuffins.com. It's now available right now, so you can pick it up as of Friday, Saturday, into the weekend and spread the word. All the money that you get from this, where does the money go?
And so the nonprofit that owns this, Mississippi Cares International, is a nonprofit that we put together. Ellen Ratner, had put together right after the hurricane, and we've done two large projects that really facilitate. We're not trying to operate anything. We address a community need that other nonprofits that are historical in the community help run.
Yeah. William Richardson, thank you so much for sharing this story. And people listening to America Tonight, get out there and get that book and help these people even a little bit more. Thanks, William.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
A brother won't with me. No woman be here. I just can't do watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas.
Drinking too much coffee. I'm in the shade. It's somewhere to be.
Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas.
The Las Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I file from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And we're back on America's Night with Newspaper Ladies, Coast to Coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. Boy, I'm excited about our next guest because I think this is something all of us can relate to. And some of you might not know this, but when I first graduated from college while I was waiting for my big break in broadcasting, I was in the retail business, and so I know what it's like to have customers, and I know what sometimes happens when you're managing a store, and let's say some of the people that work for you have kind of a grumpy attitude. I know what can happen at the corporate office. Roiland Reed joins us now, and she's a customer service expert, and we are pleased to have you on the show. Thanks, Roiland.
Hi, Kate. Thank you.
How long have you been in this business? How long have you been in the customer service business?
Well, I've been in the customer service business now for over 15 years, with an emphasis on marketing research, with mystery shopping, assessment, and various focus groups, anything that has to do with measuring customer service and satisfaction.
Mm. And see, that's interesting. That's why I brought that up about myself. I worked in a store. It was called the Lodge, kind of like a Talbot's, preppy sort of clothing. A lot of people came in, and what the corporate office did was they would send people in to see what the attitude was with the employees, how they were treating the customers and stuff. They did exactly what you're talking about in a different way. Now, a mystery shopper, so when you send mystery shoppers in, like you would have a, let's say you'd have a client, is that what you do? You send people in to see what's happening and how customers are randomly being serviced?
Absolutely, because what makes it different is the company that's hiring you to mystery shop. And a lot of times your managers or executives don't have the time or would be recognized if they were going to their own establishment. So what they hire a company like ours to do is to come in and to tell a picture of what's happening at every step of the way. It's almost like snapshots at every juncture. So they can really get a feel of not only what's going on, but actually who is doing well and who needs improvement.
Yeah, no kidding. What's, because you get all the reports, And I'm just curious, what is one of the worst things that you had to tell a client? Like, ooh, you wouldn't believe they were eating, you know, hot dogs behind the counter and they weren't waiting on people. Or what's one of the worst things that you've seen from the other side of it when it was reported back?
And I think when it really gets down to customer service, when you look at that, Kate, of what is the worst thing, really any of it can be bad to an employee, because at the bottom line, when you move into rudeness or crankiness,
yeah,
the customer's gone and you may never get them back.
Right.
But a lot of times, even in some of the descriptions you give, you know, where they're very descriptive, you may say, I walked into the store, the salesperson did not look up, they continued to work, then they looked up at me and looked back down. If you hear a description just like that, you can envision what that looks like. Unfortunately, many of us have experienced that too as well. But when it's just that descriptive, then when it goes back to the employee with a name and a description, then without a doubt, that person can read and see what it is. But one thing about mystery shopping, at least the approach we take, we don't want it to just to be gotcha.
Yeah.
But to be proactive, because at the end of the day, what the company and the managers need is for that representative to change to provide good customer service. And what we find is normally it's usually one of three things. They either need more training, it's a process that they don't understand, or it's communication. So when we go in, not only do we describe exactly what we see, but we also try to give feedback of what the manager or the company can do to turn it around to make it better. Now, the flip side of it as well is we also get information of those who are doing it right and doing it well. So we can also describe that so those people can be rewarded, as well as they can be used as examples to raise the measure of performance for the rest of your employees.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. This is great for people listening. I know you all have stories about waiting, and as Royal M was saying, you're waiting, and then somebody just goes back to doing what they were doing. You can share them certainly with us on the air here in America tonight. I'm curious what people have found and who seem to be the worst offenders. 800-259-5791. Those are the digits. Feel free to throw in your 2 cents. Is it industries across the board? Do you work with all kinds of industries, you know, retail outlets, clothing mostly, or no, across the board you do a lot of things?
Across the board, we've done eating establishments, and we also mystery shop airports.
You're kidding.
Absolutely.
Airports. What are you doing in the airport? Looking to see how the people at the airport are, or?
And in one area we've mystery shopped is actually parking, because that's really important with transportation. Of course, we've all, you know, when you get to the airport, you're trying to get there on time. So a lot of your really proactive quality airports, they actually measure the time that you're picked up from your car.
And ooh,
the time
I like
it takes
that
to be dropped off. And they actually have a number that they expect the employees and the vans to be there by. And so you're also measuring not only the performance, but actually the time. So those are, you know, of course, very important information to have. So really, like, so a lot of your proactive, progressive airports will be involved in something like that.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Royal Lynn, because I had an experience where I was in a rush. I had I couldn't get a spot close to the airport, even valet. So I went to a place called the parking spot. Some of you might recognize it, have parked there before. And usually I had done it once before, and they're great. They pick you right up and take your bags, give you some water, drop you right off at the gate. And for some reason, they were nowhere to be found. And I had a bang on the glass and try to get somebody, and I missed my flight. And I was,
I know.
And I'm a very easygoing person, Royal Lynn, but I was not too happy that day. And I didn't tear up anyone or do anything terrible. But I did call them and say that I was really disappointed, because that was the whole idea of their service, that they were spot on. They're the parking spot, so you should go there no matter what you're doing or where you're going or where you're flying, because we'll just get you there, because we realize how the airport parking sometimes can be crowded, can be overbooked, and if you're in a hurry to get to the airport, you might want to try that. So that was disappointing. I'm glad you brought up the parking example. Would you say that people, what are you finding? Are you finding that people are, because of maybe people are more stressed, or are you finding that there's more rudeness, or do you have some good news for us that there's some positive sides to all this?
Well, I think there's a combination of both, but starting with the bad part first is we know that Americans are at a historic low about the economy, high unemployment. They're worried about their jobs or lack of having a job, discontent about what is happening in Washington, our political leaders. There's just a lot going on. And we just see as a result, customer service has also declined. So overall, people are just treated poorly. But we also know, and Kate, as you've touched on, is just because, you know, the country is out of sorts and you're down, it doesn't mean you should take it out on someone else. And that's something that really where customer service and mystery shopping is really, I think, is going to become more important. And what we're seeing is smart companies will take a proactive approach.
Yeah, and that's the thing to do, absolutely. Roiland Reed, you were a terrific customer service expert. You gave us some great insights into what you're seeing out there. Thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. It's interesting, too, because some of you have sent me emails in the last couple of weeks, actually. It's strange, about how you're encountering people in your everyday life, whether it's at Starbucks or you're getting on a train. A lot of you in the East have sent me some little snippets, snapshots, I like to call them, of your life. And you've noticed that there's this undercurrent at play where people are short-tempered. People that are waiting on you are short-tempered or not paying attention, or you can't find somebody when you go into some of the bigger stores, some of the shopping centers and whatnot. I think that could be blamed a little bit on the economy. I imagine some places, some of the retail, the big retail stores have cut back on people working on the floor. So you know how you used to go into a store and sometimes you would hate it because you felt like you were almost accosted. There were so many people all over you. They just swarm you trying to get you to, do you need help with this? Do you need help with that? And now it's the kind of the opposite thing where you go in and sometimes you got to motor around the men's section, or you're down in, I don't know, furniture or wherever, just trying to find somebody to check you out, whether it's a Macy's or whether it's a Nordstrom's or wherever it might be, because they just, I don't think they have as many people working there because of the economy. So then you're going to encounter where people are crabby because they're waiting longer, and then somebody's trying to check out so many people at one time. And that is showing up. I think the whole job situation kind of stirred up into one shows rears its ugly head, frankly, in the way you're being treated sometimes, that whole customer service thing. And as I mentioned there, because out of school I did that, the company that I work for, that's what would happen. They wouldn't tell you when it would happen or where it would happen. In fact, really, you weren't supposed to know that it would happen at all. But there were people that would come in and watch to see what happened in the store. They would pose as a shopper so they could observe what was happening and if people were being waited on and how they were greeted and all that kind of stuff. Pretty interesting. So time doesn't, there's still those techniques are still at play, only this time the economy affecting a lot of the attitudes. Hey, if you have any thoughts on the show, you know what to do. Go to americatonight.net, click onto the email, and bada bing, you are in. You can catch us also on Facebook, on Twitter, Real Radio Talk as well.
Take the first step in home security. Install the Door Sentinel. Standard locks, deadbolts, and security systems can't prevent forced entry. The Door Sentinel provides door kick-in protection and can be added to your existing security system. The Door Sentinel is easy to install and will turn your home into a fortress. Make the call. 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Or visit them at SENTINEL securitygroup.com. SentinelSecurityGroup.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tattler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tattler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tattler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tattler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tattler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
So we got a lot of odds and ends to hit here on America Tonight as we head for the exits. The big one is Irene. You know, we can talk about the chase for Gaddafi. It's another whack-a-mole thing happening, although there is a price tag, as you heard at the top. We were talking about that with Abaz. You know, $2 million. Seems somebody will smoke him out. I said that in a previous show. Somebody will turn him over. This is Libya. It's not the same situation in the hunt for Osama bin Laden. So I can't imagine that he's going to hang on very long unless he is completely out of the territory somehow. It seems unlikely. It seems unlikely because of what he would have to do unless, you know, the tunnel was basically a million miles wide, which, of course, is an impossibility. So perhaps hidden in a chamber somewhere, and how long can he hold out? You know, it's weird. It's kind of like when we talk about, what if there was a nuclear holocaust? What would you do? And there'd be so many people that could be in a certain bunker in the mountain and that would be taken into it, and you would never be able to come out for 5 years. Or, what would that be like? I don't think that he's got that kind of a situation going on where he can be underground for 5 years, but who knows? I believe someone's going to smoke him out. And apparently he had a big old crush on Condi Rice. He wrote a few things about her. That has to make her skin crawl. We also mentioned that at the top. That was big news because you see all these scrapbooks of her, and she had a conversation, of course, with Gaddafi and went over and in an official capacity. And apparently he had one of those crushes on her. He was love-struck, basically, if you read any of the things that was revealed. He had dinner with her in 2008 at the very spot that they found, the compound where they found these photos. And supposedly, he greeted her when she was Secretary of State by putting his hand against his heart, which is a traditional Arab greeting, in case you didn't know that, but more than the normal kind of greeting, let's just say. So, and Gaddafi abandoned, as we all know, the weapons program and accepted responsibility for the 88 bombing of Pan Am flight over Pan Am flight over Lockerbie, Scotland, that was huge in 2003 when Rice was at that time the national security advisor, and that put him in a good light or better light with the Bush administration anyway, which also they lifted, remember, his designation as a foreign sponsor of terrorism. But, you know, then they went back to the full diplomatic relations, and look today where that relationship is and what's happened with Gaddafi since then and what he's done to his own people, the dictator that he is. So for 42 years he was the man, now he's gone. He's hidden away in the catacombs, price tag on his head, pictures of Condi Rice abandoned, and that's that with Gaddafi. The bigger thing and the buzz around many of your homes has to be, and I'm talking all of you in the New York area, you haven't seen a hurricane in 100 years, so none of you have seen a hurricane, at least in New York City, the effects of it. New Jersey, certainly on the shoreline, they've seen that before, but it's rare. So New Jersey, Connecticut, all these places now a little bit into play. Seven states, in fact, have declared a state of emergency. I mean, in New York, seriously, is prepping for this first hurricane in decades. Of course, you have evacuations in North Carolina. We're talking Cat 3 storm barreling toward the U.S. That is rough, rough water. There's always some nutball that thinks that they can catch a wave, a ridiculous wave, and they will try to do that. In North Carolina and in South Carolina, they're really begging people not to swim and not to boat. I mentioned New York. Mayor Bloomberg is trying to, or is ordering, actually, the evacuation of low-lying nursing homes and senior homes, and it has to be done by 8 o'clock on Friday because of what would happen if they weren't evacuated. The Navy is sending 27 ships in Norfolk, Virginia, out to sea to ride out Irene, because you don't want them in port, right? That makes sense. An aircraft carrier is among the bunch. 28 ships are going to go find another area to be in. Three subs are headed out to sea as well. So we are clearing the decks. This is serious. This is very serious. And it's not lost on that governor in North Carolina, Governor Perdue, who actually now, her staff is taking blame for failing to alert the public sooner that the governor had declared a state of emergency for 40 or so counties there, eastern counties, that that Hurricane Irene was approaching. And the reason they're saying that is because they announced it late Thursday morning, the declaration, the state of emergency, all that sort of stuff, which kicked in the mechanisms, because that's what it is. It's a plan, imagine, a strategy. When you say it's a state of emergency, then you respond to it. The National Guard is activated, and you start to lay the groundwork for the financial assistance that you're going to need should the place be ripped to shreds. And I started to think about this, and I thought, ripped to shreds, when was the last time we saw that? Bada bing, it immediately jumped into my head. Wilma, 2005. That hit Florida, right? Remember, Cat 3. Now, I have family along one of the areas in New Jersey that they're talking about. There's a great, well, in fact, it's where I went as a kid all the time. Cape May, New Jersey, and Wildwood Crest and Ocean City, all that Jersey Shore area in the southern tip of New Jersey. You have about 100,000 people or so that live there year-round, but that population multiplies like you wouldn't believe in the summer. And there are still people there because kids don't go back to school until after Labor Day. August, even the tail end of August, is a very, very big month to vacation there. You have lots of seasonal renters, tourists galore. So now they are declaring there an emergency, and they're ordering tourists to leave in some of the places by the day's end to get out of there. I mean, that's a mandatory evacuation. So my family is probably right in the center of the biggest storm evacuation that we've ever seen in New Jersey. Some of you are listening to me and have family in that area as well, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I can only imagine what those waves would be like, so it completely makes sense. It's a 130-mile Atlantic shoreline in that coastal area, and that's where it's very, very significant. The flooding would be just atrocious if that is the case. So the same thing, state of emergency, you have the National Guard there, you need to have that. You know, you might have 6,000 or so that are on hand, and because of the amount that I just mentioned, they will certainly need it, and there are some very low-lying areas. Atlantic City, you have the casinos, bus trips are being canceled, reservations are being thrown out the window, so to speak, and it hasn't happened really since the mid-'80s, where they've had a lot of cancellations and whatnot. So all over the East Coast, they are preparing for this thing because it is no joke. The way it's looking now, certainly looking at the radar, it's bound to be something serious, something that you can only try to weather the best you can, the less people involved, particularly along storm areas, because, like I said, the trees, the power lines, all of that. You think Connecticut. Think of all of you listening to me in Connecticut. Connecticut Light and Power, 1.2 million customers, and they're canceling vacations. Why? Because they know they're going to work round the clock. Power is going to, in some places, just go. It's just what happens with those kind of winds. Same thing is happening in New Hampshire. Same thing is happening in Massachusetts as well. It's going to be a rough Friday, I think, for some, and probably Saturday until it really clears up. On Sunday, I am hoping something happens at the last minute and there is a change of course, but it is highly unlikely. And I think that's why these governors are saying state of emergency, because they got to get their hands on some funds. They have to have people ready, and they don't want to be caught behind the curve on this one, because then it's too late. Then you're playing catch up, especially if it turns out to be a Wilma-like thing, because you're going to see a lot, sadly, you're going to see a lot of destruction, a lot of people that are going to have to somehow pick up the pieces, and you can only do so much in being prepared, and that's it. You know, that's the name of the game, unfortunately. We got our fingers crossed, you know, we're lighting the candles, we're praying, doing whatever, but you got to face facts. When you look at the radar, you have to sit up and pay attention that something definitely serious is on the horizon here. Have any thoughts, or you're doing that whole preparedness thing, you want to send me your snapshots, hey, do that. AmericaTonight.net.